RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Carson Anderson program. Scott the Gator Anderson with you today, along with Kang. Doug is out. Doug will be back next week. And, you know, once we get into the new year, everything gets back to normal. But end of the year, look, you guys have been paying attention. We've been doing the show for, this is 18 years. It'll be starting our 19th year in January. So during this time, I hope that you have become accustomed to what happens in December.
Spoiler alert, they're not, Gator.
Oh, no? Okay.
Stop taking time off.
You're right. Exactly. My bad. I did run into somebody that was shopping a few weeks ago. It was at Somerset, and some guy comes up to me. I was having a sandwich, and guy comes over to me and says, Gator, like, hey, man, how are you? He goes, hey, you weren't on the air today. What, are you sick? I'm like, no, I've got vacation, and that's why I'm here at the mall doing some shopping. No, I thought you were sick. No, I'm good. I'm just time off. Oh, yeah. We all thought, oh, where is he? I just have some time off. So that's what happens in December. We take time off in December and typically in the summer, and everything else is like, you know, kind of balls to the wall doing the show. I'm happy to do the show today because there's a lot to talk about. Unfortunately, it's not good stuff to talk about. Well, some of it might be good, I guess, for some people. But the loss for the Lions to the Minnesota Vikings on Christmas Day. I know that you had a chance to talk a little bit about it on Friday with Doug and with Jeff Rieger. But I have not had a chance to offer up my two cents worth yet on this. So, and Kang, I don't know how much of an opportunity you got to talk about it on Friday as well. Obviously, I'm sure Jeff was very gentle and Doug, and look, that was a game that you can't be gentle. You can't pussyfoot around it. You can't sugarcoat things. This was an awful, awful football game. And I can't remember a game in the Dan Campbell era that meant this much to the team where the team looked this bad. Right? We've seen some games that are absolute clunkers. A few years ago, they played Baltimore and got absolutely embarrassed. That was terrible. It was no fun. That game at Carolina where the field was in the worst condition ever, but you know, they go out and play the games. Everybody has to play on it. And Carolina ran for like 200 yards against the Lions or whatever it was. And they beat the Lions. It was Carolina. Carolina was terrible. Those are bad losses, but those are bad losses during the season where you have plenty of time to recover from it. Or maybe even those were seasons. I can't remember which seasons those were from. I think one of them may have been from the 9-8 season. And not the 12-5 season. But this was your season. The season was on the line. You had to win to have an opportunity to still have a chance next week. And it was served up to you on a platter with Max Brosmer was the quarterback for Minnesota. It wasn't J.J. McCarthy, which had it been J.J., I don't care. I still would have been pretty chesty about the outcome of the game. J.J. McCarthy wasn't particularly good against the Lions the first time they won. There were a few plays in that game that really flipped the game on its head the first time around against the Vikings. Nonetheless, the Vikings won it. Give them credit. They had five sacks in that game, and you know, Lions had a couple turnovers in that game, or at least one turnover in that game. It was very costly. Blocked extra point, or blocked field goal, I should say. Lots of things went wrong for the Lions in that game. But this time around, you got Max Brosmer, right? Shouldn't be concerned about Max Brosmer. Shouldn't be terribly concerned about the Vikings in general in this game. And in the end, yeah, 51 yards passing. What? They had one play that was worth a damn. It was a 65-yard run on an end-around to Jordan Addison, who just took off, and everybody seemed to forget what the responsibilities are on that play. There he goes right past Hutchinson. Up, there, down the sidelines, touchdown. It's not just on Aiden. You know, bad pursuit angles and a whole bit. And it looked like, was the play offside? Did the false start? Because the Lions are pointing, like, what's going on? Whatever. One play. One play. Aside from that, they had like 90, whatever it was. My math is terrible, but it was 93 yards on 27 carries prior to that. Like, that's nothing special. I mentioned the 51 yards passing. Oh, and by the way, knock off 48 yards because of sack totals. And then you have your 3 net yards passing, which is the number everybody wants to quote. But I mean, they threw for 51 yards, but it's terrible. How?
You know, looking back at it, Gator, in hindsight, this may have been the worst loss they suffered under the Dan Campbell era.
This is what I'm saying. I think it is.
Everything you just mentioned. I mean, you get curb stomped by Baltimore a couple years ago. That's understandable. That happens, right? Lamar Jackson, he's a tier one MVP type quarterback. And when they get rolling, it's tough to stop them. The Carolina game. Yes, Carolina wasn't good, but they had played. They were, I think they had won a few in a row. They were playing for Steve Wilkes at the time. Remember, he was the interim coach, and I could you could sell me on that. They're on the road, whatever. Max Brosmer and the Vikings,
bro.
When you have everything on the line, everything, and you've known this for weeks. It's not just that last week, and they came out and laid an egg. It was actually you couldn't even imagine. I know the Vikings have a decent defense, and Brian Flores is a really good coordinator. Six turnovers. They had eight the entire year heading into the game.
So I was saying this during the crosstalk in the morning show. You know, my house, I hosted Christmas. So I had my brother and his family over. I had a couple other people over the house. Mom was over at the house. And I was cooking dinner, and I knew this was going to happen. The plan all along was come halftime, we're going to hit pause on the game, and then we're going to serve dinner. So I'm making dinner while all this is going on, while the game's going on, and I'm paying some attention to it and seeing what's happening here because there are large portions of time. I'm just waiting for stuff to cook. I don't actually have to be, you know, slaving over a stove. Everything's working. So when we were done with dinner and went to unpause the game, and unfortunately at that point, the TV had already restarted with Netflix because, no, I forgot it was on regular TV. I just saw Netflix and figured it was only on Netflix. I made a mistake. So I go to Netflix and go to reboot it. And unfortunately, it picks up right where it picks up with live time. So now it's like fourth quarter and I see the score. And I thought, what? 13-7? Huh? Or 13-10, whatever the score was. I think the Lions kicked the field goal. It was 13-10 maybe. I don't know what it was. I'm like, what? How is this possible? And now that I've already, you know, been caught up here, I may as well look at the box score and see what's happened. And I couldn't believe my eyes what I was seeing because I'd seen a few of the mistakes in the first half with a couple of horrific snaps from the center that were, I mean, wide right. I don't know how you snap a ball in that direction, but that's where it was on both of them. You know, Goff trying to fall on top of the ball and doesn't really completely cover it and ends up losing that fumble. Saw Jahmyr Gibbs fumble earlier in the game. The interceptions that Goff threw, those weren't very good passes. And then other fumbles that he had because he got absolutely smashed. I was stunned at how poor the Lions played.
especially the type of culture they've built over these last 3 years. It's shocking, honestly, Gator. We speak about it all the time. One of their superpowers as a team is to be able to bounce back from wins, right? Yeah. Clearly, they haven't done that in the last few weeks here. But Max Brosmer, I cannot get over that. Yeah. That guy had like 4 turnovers the previous game, looked incompetent. He's basically out there just because they have nobody else. Wentz, McCarthy, of course, down. Everything to play for. Your playoff lives are on the line. And how they played as a team.
Yeah, again, it's next man up mentality. I totally understand that. But the defense has been doing that for a large part of the season with a secondary. And for most of the season, actually, with the secondary, they've had to deal with that with not only missing a starting corner, but missing a starting safety. And then now the last 3 weeks, it's been missing both starting safeties. And it's not just having to go with your backups to the starters. The Lions with their secondary have had to go to their backups to the backups. That's the difference. Like, I was listening to Jim Costa and Stoney this morning driving in, and one of the things that Jim was saying is that the Lions have kind of fallen in love with their own players a little bit. And he thought that, you know, they missed out on opportunities to go ahead and improve the roster by, you know, using higher draft picks to trade for players or whatever. And that Joe Tooney went for a 4th-round pick. And I thought, okay, there's some merit to that, but I think what's unfair is that when they've gone out and signed their own players to big contracts, and good players are deserving of the big contracts, players that you don't want to lose. But when you do that, you have to have lower-priced talent as backups to kind of fill in those roster spots. And the problem with the Lions isn't that they have those guys, is that they had to play not only those guys, but more importantly, they've had to play the guys behind those guys. That's the problem. It's not that the roster doesn't have the depth. They had some depth, and then the depth got lopped off in training camp with the offensive line that I've talked about ad nauseum with the players that they've lost, that they were, you know, hey, let's look and see what we have with a draft pick that they took this year, Miles Frazier. You know, hurt right away. Don't get a chance to see him. Hey, let's see what we have in Giovanni Manu, who they drafted a couple years ago. Oh, nope, don't get to see him because he got hurt right away in training camp. Oh, well, it's okay. They got Kobe Soristal. Let's see Kobe Soristal in the offense. Nope, he's gone. Okay, Jamarco Jones. There's a guy they're trying to. Nope, he's gone. That's 4. 4 guys you're expected to see in some kind of capacity and gone before the regular season starts. And that's just to the offensive line, let alone what they're putting out there in the secondary between corners and safeties. I mean, they're literally playing their 6th and 7th safeties of the year. And you look at the tight end situation, Laporta only played, you know, half a season, and we know how important Sam is to this team. And Brock Wright's awfully important, too, is his backup, and he gets a lot of starts, a lot of snaps, and he got hurt. So now you're going with your 3rd and 4th and 5th string tight ends. And then more injuries to the offense. Wow, just a catastrophe. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
So I want to make sure that this doesn't get misconstrued, okay? Injuries are part of the game. They're part for every team in the National Football League. If you don't believe it, just flip on your TV and watch football. Philip Rivers isn't playing football this year unless Daniel Jones gets hurt, right? If you're watching a game last night, San Francisco still getting things done without Nick Bosa and George Kittle didn't play last night. It didn't seem to stop it. Next man up. Here's Tonjes having a, you know, one of the game of his life. Teams deal with injuries all the time. Injuries are a reason to help explain why what's happened, but it's not the sole reason what's happened. I think there's a lot. The collapse of the Lions goes way deeper than just injuries, and injuries are a massive cut to this team to get it deep. But in the end, they weren't constructed well enough to sustain it. They thought they were, and they were not. And you can go back to a trade deadline and talk about missed opportunities there, but it's tough to really understand what did or didn't happen at the deadline when we're not the ones making the phone calls, and we're not the ones receiving the phone calls. So I don't know who was available, at what cost. Clearly it was a cost that they thought was too much to try and improve that roster. And, you know, in the end, if you had thought about it, Kang, we go back and look at it. Had they traded for an offensive lineman, just a decent offensive lineman, nothing special, but a you know, somebody who could step in and start for them, would that have made any difference?
I think it might have for the last two games. Now, you can't – injuries play a role everywhere, like you said. The Niners, they're at top of the NFC right now, and they've been decimated by injuries. They even lost their starting quarterback for games this year,
yeah.
Right? And they're able to overcome. Now, the injuries probably would have ended up preventing the Lions from doing any damage in the playoffs, but they still could have made the playoffs with all these injuries. The last two games specifically, the Steelers are not that good of a team.
No, they're not.
Soft division where Lamar Jackson's been hurt all year. Joe Burrow's been hurt, right? The Vikings, we already spoke of how bad they are, especially with Mac Brosmer at quarterback. The Lions still could have overcame those injuries and beat those two teams with their playoff lives on the line, and they were not able to do it. This was just not their year. The injuries did not help. But personally, I think it all started with the interior offensive line. That's the lifeline of this team. And once they stopped run blocking and weren't protecting Goff as they normally would or could, that's where things went off the rails for this team.
Yeah, I mean, moment one is in the offseason when Frank Ragnow retires after the draft and kind of catches people off guard, like, uh-oh, what just happened there? And then say, okay, well, next man up, we'll figure this out. And then you go through training camp, and during training camp, at some point during training camp, they made the decision that their center was going to be Glasgow and that Tate Ratledge is going to stay at right guard. Now, when they drafted Tate Ratledge, they talked about his flexibility. He can play guard. He can play center. Let's see where he's going to start off. And, you know, the thought was he's getting lots of reps in training camp at center. Is that eventually where he's going to go? Well, they just said, no, he's right guard. I wonder if that's, you know, there's going to be things they're going to be kicking themselves over in the offseason now that they have one game left, and then it's, you know, as Dan Skipper said, it's off to Cancun, I guess, because there's no playoffs for this team. And they have to start, and Brian Holmes can already start thinking about what they're going to do for next year, and I'm sure Dan Campbell's doing some of that too. But meanwhile, they got one more game to prepare for against the Bears. But I wonder how much of that preparing is, how much of the thought goes into it. Does Tate Ratledge end up being the center moving on? And was it a mistake at some point not to switch and let Tate Ratledge play center? I don't know. It's a lot of woulda, coulda, shoulda, right? And I think that's a little bit unfair. But I don't think it's unfair to think about in the offseason, and technically now is kind of, I guess technically it's not the offseason, but knowing that they're no longer playoff bound, you can start to think about things like that. You know, is that a thought that goes into next year? Is Tate Ratledge your everyday center? Are they going to draft one? Do they have to sign one in free agency? What is the plan? And that's the massive plan for next year, is how do you rebuild the offensive line? The offensive line was the number one position group on this team over the last several years. They were great. They were great with Frank Ragnow. They were great with Taylor Decker and great with Penei Sewell. Those three guys, stalwarts. And then you just kind of found a way to have guards play in there, and the guards worked. Well, Ragnow retired. And Taylor Decker might retire after this year. And, you know, Kang, you and I were talking about this before the show. Penei Sewell, normally 10 out of 10. I don't think he was 10 out of 10 this year. I don't think it was 7 out of 10 either, but I think, you know, because Penei Sewell has such a high standard that when he makes mistakes, you're like, oh my God, that just happened.
Yeah, I mean, the standard for him, honestly, is perfect.
Like, yeah, exactly.
We expect him to be perfect. So when he does miss an assignment or gets beat, it's kind of like, whoa.
Yeah.
And he missed some this year. He did.
Love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. Don't want to even insinuate moving on from him. But you have to think about this. If Decker's not going to come back, if he's going to retire, then do you move Sewell back over to the left side, which is probably inevitable? I mean, there's a lot that has to happen with the offensive line. And that's where things started to go south with this team, was in the offseason, with the uncertainty of what they had. And then taking a gamble of not bringing Zeitler back and let's go with Glasgow at center and Ratledge at right guard. And then you've got Mahogany at left guard. You've got, you know, so much inexperience in the interior of that offensive line. And as the season went on and Glasgow was breaking down, they had Tristan Colon playing center. Kingsley Equibon the last couple of games has played center. And, you know, it's a disaster. It's a disaster up front, let alone that prior to the game against the Vikings, the defense had given up, you know, 450 yards a game in the previous five games. And that's not a small sample size. That starts with the Giants game, where they give up over 500 yards in offense to Jameis Winston and the Giants. Lions got big problems. Let's get to the people. 248-539-9797. I know people they got a lot to say. Maybe we're in the talking mood on Friday, but you can be in the talking mood today. We'll be glad to talk to you. Same number to text us as well. We'll start with Don in Detroit. Don, welcome to 97.1.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
All right,
glad
Don.
To be here.
Thanks, Don.
But I want to add something that you guys forgot about. Back in 1969-70, we should have picked Chuck Noll as coach. We got rid of him, sent him to Pittsburgh. 4 Super Bowls later, he became one of the greatest coaches in football. We had Monty Clark. Over the years, we never built a system. We do not know how to face a team that is getting our cookies given to us without making adjustments during the game. The only guy I remember doing that was the Washington coach. When his team was getting beat up, he made adjustments during the game, didn't wait till halftime to make sure he made those corrections. We don't do that. There's no way these teams should have been running on the Lions like they have, especially with the defense we had last year. And when Ndamukong Suh became available again, I thought that would have been a good fit for the Lions. I know what you're going to say, probably no, but everybody wants a monster, but nobody knows how to correct them. Look at Dick Butkus. Look at Mean Joe Green.
All right, thanks, Don. I appreciate the call. I'm not going back down memory lane of the 70s and the 60s and the monsters in the midway to Purple People Eaters and all that stuff, the no-name defense. Don't need to go through there, okay? And as far as the not making adjustments, I think that's absolute horse crap. Every team makes adjustments. The Lions went 15-2 last year. You don't think there were some adjustments made at halftime or during the game to ensure they would win games? That's ridiculous. And Ndamukong Suh, really? You wanted to bring Ndamukong Suh back? You know, nobody else brought him back. Not one team. It's been a while since Ndamukong Suh was in the league. You know why? Because he can't play anymore. And Chuck Noll? Really? You're going to bring up Chuck Noll? Why not bring up Bill Parcells, too? He was on a Lions staff years ago.
Bill Belichick.
Yeah. They lost out on all those Hall of Fame coaches who were part of. Come on, man. What do we do?
Well, yeah, I think people quickly forgot, like you said, 15-2 last year.
15-2
NFC title game 2 years ago.
Back-to-back division champions.
Yeah, we're hoping what this is, Gator, is a blip on the radar. Like, they can get back to where they're supposed to be starting next year. Sometimes this happens to teams, even good teams, where it's not their year. The injuries catch up to them. By the way, the Lions have 2 new coordinators this year, and I think that definitely played a role to the continuity of this team and the scheming and all that stuff. Like, I'm not saying that's the only reason, but a lot of stuff played into this.
Yeah, and by the way, it's Monday, which means it's Champ and Chump Monday. I forgot to throw that out there. So we're going to have our Champ and Chump. I'll offer up Mind King if you've got some Champ and Chump nominees you want to bring up at 10:38. More than welcome to. We welcome it from the people as well. 248-539-9797. Champ, who had a great week. Chump, who did not have a great week. You can offer up your nominations, and we'll get to those next here on 97.1. Got some ticket texts coming in. The Minnesota loss was the first time I could say Jared Goff should get most of the blame. He was terrible. I don't think Goff was good in that game. I mean, a couple of those interceptions were not good. I think a couple of the fumbles, I think he was charged with three fumbles. I think a couple of those weren't his fault. I still can't understand the bad snaps. Two bad snaps from Ekwuban that were just like shot immediately to the right. I don't get that. But no, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Goff wasn't good enough in the game. Under duress a lot. I don't think he was god-awful, but I don't think he was good.
The offense, they got out-coached and outplayed by that Vikings defense. Flores and that team got after the Lions. They caused them to turn over the ball multiple times. And on a day where the Lions defense actually stepped up.
I was going to say, the crazy thing is,
they actually stepped up. They only let one play happen, which was the jet sweep, which basically ended the game. But other than that, the defense gave the Lions offense plenty of opportunities to win this game.
The defense did a great job. Seven quarterback sacks in the game. I mean, the total yardage was, 100 and something yards? It was like less than 150 yards in offense. They did a great job. And they, like we said, it was just the one play, the end around to Addison. They gave up 65 yards in a one play. Outside of that, they gave up nothing. You know, they had a couple of 10-yard receptions and a 10-yard run and an 11-yard run. That's it. Like, they did a great job. But the one thing the defense didn't do was turn the ball over to the offense. They didn't get a fumble recovery. I don't think they caused a fumble. Oh, actually, they caused one fumble to Brosmer. And they didn't pick him off. But they didn't give up the yardage. So, I mean, the defense did their job. Hutch had a couple sacks. Al-Kadim Adaman had a couple sacks. But in the end, the offense just couldn't get on track. The offensive line was atrocious. And you found out right away before the game starts. I shouldn't say right away. You found out right before the game starts. Taylor Decker's out with an illness. And Graham Glasgow is available to the team, but limited. So he didn't start at center. So you got Ekwuban playing at center again. And it's just, and the guy's just coming off injury. And Mahogany playing his second game off of injury. No more excuses with that because he's playing. And it was bad. It was just bad. No protection. Tight ends did a bad job. The offensive line did a bad job. I don't think the running backs helped out Goff either in that scene. But in the end, they needed to be a little bit better. And maybe would it have just taken a little bit better for them to win the game?
Yes, if they would have turned over the ball maybe five times instead of six, they might have won the game. That's how bad the Vikings are.
It's how bad it was, yeah. And then you look at what happened on Saturday night when the Packers are playing. And you're like, okay, Packers and Ravens, and then I think the Packers, the Lions losing, I think made the Packers' decision to sit Jordan Love for another week, made it really easy. Go ahead and start Malik Willis. Malik Willis looked good. He looked really good until he hurts his shoulder again, has to leave the game briefly. But Huntley leading Baltimore, and obviously was the running game with Derrick Henry. But nonetheless, Packers don't get it done. And if the Lions had gotten it done against the Vikings, we'd be paying a lot more attention to this week and then bitching about, oh, crap, look what the Bears did last night against San Francisco. How could the Lions possibly beat the Bears? And yet the Bears, I don't know what they're going to suit up on Sunday against the Lions. Because the game no longer means a whole lot for them. It just means, are they going to be the second seed or the third seed? They're still going to host a game. I guess it comes down to who do they want to play? Would they want to play Green Bay or do they want to play the Rams?
I'd rather play Green Bay. Don't discount the revenge factor for Ben Johnson. I mean, the Lions laid it on him last time they came to Ford Field.
I hear you. And all that might come into play. Maybe they would play their entire arsenal against the Lions for the first half and just try to humiliate them. I don't know. Maybe, sure. But the point is, we don't even get that opportunity to think about what this is going to be like in a game that could matter. Because the game that mattered, they lost. I don't. Did you get the sense, Kang, that they just overlooked Minnesota? Oh, we got this because of Brosmer, or was it just like, oh crap, we're without our left tackle, we're starting a different center again, we have no secondary. We're just going to go out there and hopefully we can win the game, and they didn't.
I don't think they overlooked Minnesota at all. I thought the defense played well, like we spoke about already. I think the offense was just out. They're outplayed, outcoached, out-schemed, out-everything. I think Brian Flores and that Vikings defense.
It's a good defense. They have some good players. I don't know if it's a good defense, but they got some good players.
But they have great coaching.
Yeah.
And they just out-schemed the Lions. I didn't think the Lions, you know, I hate the adjustment talk, but honestly, they weren't able to combat what the Vikings were doing on defense. Call it what you want, adjustments or whatever. The Vikings, the defense outplayed the Lions offense, and it was not even close.
Mondays are time for Champ and Chump. I will offer up my champ. We'll start things off. For me, it's Drake May, quarterback of the New England Patriots. He was near perfect. Absolutely amazing against the Jets. Now, given it's the Jets, and the Jets are just awful, but Drake May was insane how good he was. 5 touchdown passes in the Patriots' 13th win of the season. If I had an MVP vote, it would go to Drake May. Kang, your champ?
I'm going with the Pistons and Red Wings for being in first place. I know the Pistons lost last night and the Red Wings won, but they're at least giving us something to look forward to now that the Lions season is basically over. I know that it's not officially over, but their playoff chances are officially over. So thank goodness for the Red Wings and the Pistons. Keep doing what you're doing, because we're going to be focusing on you a lot pretty soon here.
As far as Chump is concerned, I'm going with Dan Campbell. He didn't have his team ready to play. I don't know what the hell happened with the offensive line, what we saw there. There are no playoffs. This is following a 15-win season. Scarily, they're not alone. The Chiefs also won 15 games last year, and they're out of the playoffs. And the Vikings won 14 games last year, and they're out of the playoffs. That's crazy to think you got two 15-win teams and a 14-win team that the very next season are out of the playoffs, but that's where they're at. The Lions are there, and I love Dan Campbell. I think he's the right guy to coach this team, but that he did not have his team ready to go, and that is disappointing. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. More of your calls and texts as we go. And Kang, who is your chump?
Thank you, Gator, for asking for my chump. My chump is going to be flu season, the sickness that's been going around, not just Michigan, but it looks like the entire country. I've noticed more, maybe because my family went through it. Like, my whole family was a disaster last week. We missed Christmas, like our normal Christmas at our in-laws and grandparents and all that stuff. But I've noticed on injury reports for football,
yeah,
the term illness has popped up a lot in December with the Lions, with any other team. So illness, you're my chump of the weekend.
248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Same number to text as well. Back to the phones. And Chris is in Canton. Chris, welcome to 97.1.
Fellas, doing a great show today. Yeah, my season was over when they drafted Tariq Williams for me. The guy never beat Michigan. Why? Because Michigan ran down their neck. And then, so he wasn't even good at his strength there. He was the 5th, 6th best defensive tackle. Once you get to that point in the draft, you don't take a guy like that in the first round, the 6th best at some position. Like, it's like, okay, maybe I need to pivot and go somewhere else. Also, I'm with you on the chumping of Dan Campbell. When he gets into the press conference, so you've been there, Gator and Kang, you know, in these press conferences, when he goes, well, we knew we had to play for the last possession 7 possessions later. We knew it was going to be that type of game. You've seen how he coached this week. He had 50 seconds on the clock, and he's just acting like, well, we know it's one of them games where it's the last possession. Just play the game, and you know what? That strategy, that used to work when you were good. Okay, now you're going to have to adjust. And when you got an offense like that, it should be pedal to the metal, not, we knew it was going to be a game where we had to have the ball last and all this other junk. That's not working, Dan, obviously.
Well, and thanks for the call. I wonder if any kind of philosophies are going to change for next season. And starting with the offseason, because you're going to have to figure out which players you're going to hang on to before they get to free agency. You got to make decisions there. You got to make decisions on giving players extensions. And then you have to make decisions on what free agents you want to go after. And then you've got the NFL draft. There's a lot that happens between, you know, next Monday and the end of April when you get to the draft. And I think there's some things you have to look at, but I wonder if philosophies have to change. We'll talk about that next. 248-539-9797. This is 97.1.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Coming up at 11:05, want to kind of get into a little bit more of what happened last week with Christmas, and Ken kind of touched on it with illness and how that's creeping up on all the NFL reports and the hockey reports and basketball reports when it comes to the injury list, and you see guys out with illness, and we'll get to that coming up after the top of the hour. Meantime, 248-539-9797, the telephone number here, same number to text. And I mentioned that, you know, maybe some philosophies have to change when it comes to the off season. And what I say that is, I think, to me, Kang, one of the big issues that I've had with Brad Holmes, and it might be the only issue, one of the only issues, I like Brad Holmes a lot. I don't want to move on from him from the general manager, and I like Dan Campbell a lot. I'm not moving on him from head coach. These guys are fine. And Jared Goff is the quarterback. These are the big three everybody looks at. Those are fine. That's not it. It doesn't mean you can't change some things up, though. And if you're going to change things up without changing the actual person and replacing them, it's getting to think differently. So a philosophy, a paradigm shift, if you will. And one of the problems I have is that Brad Holmes is crazy aggressive when it comes to the NFL draft and maneuvering all throughout the draft, constantly trading, giving up assets to move up to get his guy. He'll pinpoint on a guy, he wants him, and he'll move up and go get him. I haven't had as much of an issue moving in the first round of the draft. You know, when you trade back, you got Dryset and Jahmyr Gibbs, you want to trade back and get some more assets, and you do it, and you're passing on Jalen Carter. Okay, but he got it right. Jalen Carter's a great player. But Jahmyr Gibbs and Sam Laporta, that's a better combination. That works better. I'm okay with that. You know, trading for Jameson Williams, that has some mixed reviews on that, but I like J-Mo as a player a lot. I think he adds a ton to this offense. But it's the maneuvering around to get guys like, even though I was a big Hendon Hooker fan, you give up a lot of draft capital to move up and get him. Broderick Martin, felt like there was an awful lot going on to move up to take Broderick Martin. Isaac Tesla, I like Isaac Tesla, but I have a hard time thinking that he wasn't going to be available to you when you were going to pick without having to move up and get him. I could be dead wrong. They've got intel to tell us otherwise, and that's why they made the move. But nonetheless, these are players where multiple picks are given up to secure that pick. And I bring this up because when you get to a trade deadline, when you're looking at whatever it is, early November, whenever the trade deadline is, the capital you have is draft capital. That's how players get moved to the trade deadline. It's not player for player like you see in baseball. It's a totally different kind of trade deadline in the NFL. It's basically which draft picks are you going to give up to another team to acquire a player that's going to help you out. And the Lions haven't been terribly active. And they did get Za'Darius Smith a year ago, and he was okay for the Lions. But this past year, they didn't do anything. And they had definitely a screaming need on the offensive line to try to add to it, but they didn't. And I think there was only one offensive lineman that was moved with mixed results. And again, we don't know who was available to them. But my problem is that he's not willing necessarily to give up the assets on a trade deadline day, but he's more than willing to do it at the draft. And I wonder if that's a philosophy that needs to change. Hang on to your draft picks during the draft, and if you're going to move anything for the following season, do it at the deadline when you're acquiring players that can help you out right here and now, and they're proven commodity players, They're not taking a chance and taking a flyer and hoping this guy's going to be great in the future. It's what can I do right now to improve this offensive line, to improve the pass rush, to improve the secondary? That's where I look at it. I think maybe that's a philosophy that has to change at Brad Holmes. He doesn't need to be super aggressive at the draft, but maybe save some of those picks so that you can be more aggressive at the deadline.
It's tough because what you're kind of asking him to do is be perfect almost. And it's no GM is perfect. No president is perfect, right? I understand the real core of your philosophy is just hold on some more picks to be able to use them later. But he does everything with conviction, which I appreciate because this is how we got here. Yeah. This is how we got to a competitive football team, a great culture, right? My change in philosophy for him, what I would ask for is if it is kind of the falling in love with your own players thing. I just mentioned he does everything with conviction, but maybe sometimes you have to have someone else reevaluate or evaluate what you do have and move on, be able to move on from players, right? And so if you believe in a guy, you give him a contract, you draft him, that's one thing. But if you see maybe it's not working, to be able to let that person go, a la Marcus Davenport or Emmanuel Mosley. I know those guys are because of injury concerns, but the Davenport thing, I mean, everyone saw coming for since the day they signed him. Mahogany. Maybe, you know, they obviously thought he was going to be okay this year. Maybe he wasn't going to be okay. Maybe you really need to go find another guard. I know they drafted Ratledge. Maybe you thought Glasgow could handle it in the middle, but he actually just is getting worse and older. I think I give him a little slack on that because Frank Ragnow retired so late after the draft, right? But I just want them to be able to, like, reevaluate, hey, maybe this guy isn't going to develop like we thought, and then cut cords right away instead of, you know, hanging on and seeing what you have. Because I'm not sure Manu was going to be that good. I mean, that one, talk about reach.
I have no idea. And Giovanni Manu was another one that they traded up to go get. And that's why I said, okay, even though I think this is a philosophy I'd like to change with him in terms of, you know, being less aggressive on draft day and giving up picks to move up to a third, you know, to give up multiple picks to get a third round pick. I don't like that necessarily because I like to hang on to some of those picks. So when it comes to the trade deadline, to use that. That being said, you know, when you talk about giving up on guys and maybe it's time to give up on some players that you've drafted and get ahead of it, that was one of the big problems with the team this year. And where I do think injuries, it's not an excuse. There's a legitimate reason why you're in a position that you're in. And that is that some of your backups aren't good enough. But the problem is they've had to go to the backups to the backups. And Manu is another one of these guys that got hurt. This was supposed to be a year you got to see something from Manu. Like, you think it would have helped him out if he was able to at least practice every day? But he wasn't because he got hurt. Same thing with Sorensen. Got hurt. You know?
I think they got hurt, which maybe...
Same thing with Mekhi Frazier. Got hurt.
Also, I don't think they were developing that quickly. And maybe the injuries had something to do with that as well, the development. But you can't run Dan Skipper out there as your backup tackle, who you cut, by the way.
Yeah.
You cut and put him on the practice squad. And at the end of the year, he's your starting tackle when you need to win the game. Your playoff lives are on the line.
Right, and part of that is because Sorensen got hurt, because Manu got hurt, and Jamarco Jones got hurt. These were guys I think that were absolutely going to be ahead in the depth chart, and they're not. And I wonder what's going to happen with a guy like, say, Josh Pascal. I mean, I'd have to look back and see if did they trade up to get Pascal or not. I don't remember, but that's another guy that a lot of hopes, you know, put into him. A good size guy.
Enrique, they believed in him.
Yeah, all these guys that can play inside and outside, and none of them have panned out. So that's just an area I think maybe the philosophy has to change and take a closer look at. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Kyle's in Northville. Kyle, welcome to 971.
Hey, guys. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Kyle.
Hey, this is 100% Brad Holmes' fault. And from a player personnel standpoint, you take that one draft away, I think we can all agree he's getting a D or an F in his trades, his free agency, his handling of which players to bring back. The fact of the matter is, and let's just take the last 2 years, he takes Williams. Now, he might have had a first-round grade on him, but Johnson from Michigan has been, when he's on the field, outstanding for Arizona. And the year before, we take Kerryon Arnold, and Cooper DeJean was sitting there. And now Philadelphia has arguably the two best cornerbacks in football. or pairing in football.
Well, again, I like to work up against a break here, Kyle, but I understand what you're saying. I mean, if that's a talent evaluation thing, you like one guy over another guy, and you are wrong. 97.1.
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.